Thank you so much, Pastor, for having us, and thank you so much for having us today. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Amen. Yes. We're so happy to be here with you all today. My name is Joshua, my wife Abby, and we are a church planting missionaries to the country of Argentina, and we're sent out of Central Baptist Church in Decatur, Illinois, and we're also with Macedonia World Baptist Missions in the state of Georgia. I'm also a second-generation missionary. My dad has been in Argentina for 34 years. So I had the privilege of growing up in the mission field, and we know the language, we know the culture, and we just love Argentina. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I got saved at the age of 8 years old. I was in a missions conference in the northern part of Argentina, and I remember that day the pastor was preaching about hell and sin, and I got really scared. I didn't want to go to hell. But praise the Lord for that pastor that also preached about Jesus, amen, that came to this earth to die on the cross for my sins. And because of Jesus, I didn't have to go to hell anymore. That day I accepted the Lord as my Savior. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I had a dream of being a pilot. I wanted to fly all over the world. I wanted to be an airline pilot. But also, ever since I was a little kid, I would go out soul winning with my dad just about every day. And I did that because I didn't want to do my homeschooling. Amen? So I would go out visiting with my dad. And the Lord was working in my heart just seeing the need there in Argentina, the people. And I wanted to be a pilot. And one day, a brother from DeKalb, Illinois, a friend of our families, he called and said, "Joshua, if you want to study to be a pilot, I will pay for all of your studies. So you can come back to the States, go to college, and become that airline pilot you want to be. He said, pray about it, think about it, and I'll call you back." So I started praying about this and thinking about it. And one day I was reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and it was talking about how everything in this world is vain.
Yes.
And the Lord touched my heart that day to not live for something that is vain,
amen,
but to live for something that is eternal.
Amen.
So that then I went to Bible college, and that's where I met my wife, Abby. And Abby comes from a good Christian home there in Argentina. She accepted the Lord as her Savior, listening to the Christian radio. Mm-hmm. And then she was studying in college, accounting. And then God called her to serve, so she left college and went to Bible college. And that's where we met. And that's where she fell in love right away. Amen? After we graduated, we were married and have been serving the Lord together ever since. I would appreciate your prayers for the country of Argentina. Argentina is struggling right now. We go through, for example, we go through hyperinflation in Argentina. You buy something Monday, by Friday, it has a totally different price. Argentina is also a very socialist country. They recently voted in another socialist president. This man is trying to change everything really fast. He's all for these LGBT rights, and he recently approved abortion free and legal in Argentina. So all over the country, you can go to, it doesn't matter if it's a private, a public hospital, and you can get an abortion for free. And now they're talking about giving welfare plans to the people who abort their babies. So it's really sad to see the socialist movement destroy the country of Argentina. You know, Argentina was a rich country in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And then the socialist movement started with Perón, and it all went downhill after that. Today we have states where 85% of the people live off the government. So it's gotten to the point where the best jobs are the government jobs. You either work for the government or you live off the government. The government is your God. So it's just sad to see this socialist movement destroy the country of Argentina. Also, Argentina is a little bit dangerous. My family and I, we have been robbed over, oh, probably like 25 times in our house. You know, one of the last times that we were robbed, we had three doors in the front. We had three doors in the back. We had two sets of bars in each window. We had a wire on top of the house with electricity, 220. We also had cameras, and we had a Rottweiler. And the last time that we were robbed, we had these men that drilled a hole in the back wall of our house. And that's how they got in. So Argentina's a little bit dangerous. I've had people point guns and knives at me. I've had to run many, many times going out sowing, soul winning. Let me tell you a quick story. One night, we were about to go to sleep. It was like midnight, and we hear these men that were trying to come in through the roof of our house. And my dad got really scared, and I was really scared too. We didn't know what to do. You're not allowed to have guns in Argentina. But we didn't know what to do, so my dad just decides to open the window and start screaming to the guys that were trying to come in through the roof. He starts screaming to my mom, "Ruth! Ruth, get the gun!" And my mom answers, "What gun? We don't have one."
Oh, no.
You know, the guy started laughing. One fell off the roof, so that was a blessing that day. We weren't robbed that day, but you know, we still love Argentina. We love serving there. That's where the Lord has called us, and we want to respond to that calling. You know, Argentina has 44 million people. 80% of the Argentines consider themselves to be Roman Catholic. The Catholic people have a national holiday, the 8th of December. It's called Virgin's Day. And people from all over the country will go to the northern state of Catamarca. And for example, to get to Catamarca from Tucumán, where we're serving the Lord, there's 150 miles. So people will walk for 150 miles all the way there. The craziest thing is that people walk on their knees all the way there for 150 miles. That takes about a week and a half to 2 weeks for them to do that. And they do that so they would get a miracle from Virgin Mary. But it's sad because once they get there, it turns into a big party. They start drinking and smoking, and it's just a party. But you know, these people don't know the truth. These people need somebody that would tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. One day, I was soul winning. I was able to lead a Catholic lady to the Lord. Her name was Roxana. Roxana, her life was just destroyed. Her husband had left her. Her kids were alcoholics. And Roxana got saved that day. And God just changed her life. She started coming to church faithfully, and her family got back together. Her kids are in church today serving the Lord. Amen. You know, one of her older sons there is going into our Bible college in Argentina. So just like Roxana, there's a lot of people in Argentina that need to hear the gospel. And I thank the Lord that He called my parents to Argentina. You know, I could have been born here in the States. I could have had a different life. I could have enjoyed many things that we do enjoy here in the States. But God had another plan for my life, and God had another purpose.
Yeah.
And God has put a love and a burden in my heart for the people of Argentina, and I need to go back and tell them about Christ. So we want to go back to Argentina, and we want to start churches in the northern part of Argentina. And just one state in the northern part of Argentina has 128 cities that do not have one single church preaching the gospel. A missionary in Buenos Aires has a list of churches, and on that, I counted every church on that list, 123 churches in the whole country of Argentina. So that means that we have 123 churches for 44 million people. I know for sure that Missouri has more than 100 churches.
Yeah.
You know, Argentina needs about 863 churches just to have one church for every 50,000 people. So there's a great need. We had the privilege of starting a church in 2017. We started the New Life Baptist Church in a small town called Monteros. Monteros has over 50,000 people. And we started the first church there preaching the gospel. And praise the Lord, the church has been growing. Today we have about 45 members in that church, and we're just seeing God change people's lives and families there. And now we have left a national pastor in charge of that church there in Montero. So I would appreciate your prayers for us, that we could raise our support to go back to Argentina as soon as possible. I thank the Lord that we were able to grow up there. We know the language. We know the culture. So as soon as we can raise our support, we're going to go back and start churches. We're praying for four cities that need that first Baptist church preaching the gospel. So I would appreciate your prayers and for us. And thank you so much for having us tonight. If you would open your Bibles, I'll try to be quick here. you'd open your Bibles to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, we'll be reading chapter 3. The book of Lamentations tells us the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a broken heart for the people of Jerusalem. The Babylonians had taken the wealthy people out of the city, and the only people that were left were poor people. And Jeremiah noticed that in spite of the chastisement of God, these people refused to repent. So they became wicked and corrupt, and God sent a famine to this city. You know, this famine was so great that chapter 4 says that mothers ate their own children. And Jeremiah saw this, and it broke his heart. So Jeremiah goes on and writes in chapter 3, verse 48, the Bible says, "My eyes runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." Verse 51 says, "My eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah was affected for what he saw. Other people could pass by and see the sin, the sadness, the famine, and it didn't bother them. But it did bother Jeremiah. So Jeremiah goes on and writes in chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by?" Jeremiah is saying here, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care? So number one, tonight I would like to remind you that in your life, you had a Jeremiah that cared for you. You had somebody that took an interest in your soul. Maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a neighbor, but there was somebody that cared for you. So now it's our turn. It's our turn to care for somebody else. And you can say, Joshua, why care for other people? Well, one good reason to care for others is because there's a real place called hell. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. There's a real place called hell. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And ever. You know, hell is not temporary. People in Argentina believe that once they die, they go to a place called purgatory, and then the priest comes to your house and he prays about 7 days, and that's how you get to heaven. But that is not mentioned in the Bible. Hell is mentioned in the Bible, and hell is mentioned 19 times in the New Testament and 16 times by Jesus. And hell is an awful place, but God loved us so much that He doesn't want us to go there. In the Word of God, we find that hell is a place of duration, of isolation, reflection. You have a memory in hell. You can remember all those times that you should accept the Lord as your Savior. Hell is a place of rejection, of affliction with fire, where the worm dieth not, a place of pain. Remember the story of the rich young ruler, Luke chapter 16. This rich young man that goes to hell, and in hell, he had a burden for his family, for his five brothers. How many of us have family members tonight that are not saved? I think we all have somebody in our family that are not saved. But you know, this young man, he had to go to hell to get a burden for his family. We need to find out how awful is hell before we get a burden for our family or for other people that are lost. You know, this young man in hell, he wanted somebody to go to his family and tell them about Jesus. There's probably somebody right now in hell asking for somebody to go not only to their families, but to their cities, to their towns, and to their countries, and tell them about Jesus. You know why? Because they can't come out of hell, and they can't send someone, but they're asking for somebody to go. And I was thinking that, you know, we spend Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners, and many times we sit across family members that are not saved, and we don't talk about the Lord. We're ashamed of talking about the Lord. And that family member that's sitting right across that table, that brother, that mother, that sister, that daughter could be going to hell. Yeah. And we don't say anything. Even, you know, even people in hell don't want people going there. That's how awful it is. And the sad thing is that I know about hell, but I'm not concerned about people that are lost. You know, this world just cries out for somebody that would care for them. There's a lot of people out there that nobody cares for them. And we need to go out there and look for these people and tell them about Christ. You know, in the Word of God, we find people that cared for other people. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 9? Paul said that he was willing to sacrifice his life so that others could get to hear about Jesus. Right. We need more people like Paul that are willing to sacrifice their lives so that others could get to know about Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel's that they might be saved." Mm-hmm. Paul's desire, Paul's prayer was that people would get saved. Is that our prayer tonight? That people would get saved here in this town, in our neighborhood, in our state, in our country. Is that our prayer? I hope that's our prayer tonight. Compassion is what the people need here in this city and in Argentina. Compassion is the desire that responds to the needs of the people. It's more than feeling sorry. Because when you feel sorry, you don't do anything. Right, right. But compassion should move you to action. Right. And a perfect example of compassion in action is the life of Jesus. Let me show you a quick example. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus is the perfect example of compassion in action. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Jesus sees this group of Jewish people, and at that time he feels compassion for them. And he uses that phrase, "sheep with no shepherd." You know, that's what moved Jesus' heart. It was compassion. Jesus, you know, compassion was that engine that would move Jesus to help people, to feed the people, to care for the people. He did it all out of compassion. And he also had compassion over us that he came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins out of compassion. So we need to have compassion over our family members, yes, over this city that doesn't know about Christ. 2,600 years ago, Jeremiah walked the streets of Jerusalem. He saw the city, he saw the people, he saw the sin, he saw the sadness. And he said, "Is it nothing to you all, ye that pass by?" I would like to ask you tonight, where's your heart tonight? Where is your heart? Is your heart in this world? And what we can obtain or own? The tangible things of this world? The things that we can see? Is our heart in this world, or is our heart in that family member that doesn't know about Jesus? In that city, in that neighborhood that needs to hear about Jesus? What group of people you care for? You know, there's people on this earth that if you had compassion over them, if you had a burden, a love, compassion, God would use you, yeah, and you can win many souls. There's people here in this city that if you had compassion for them, if you had a burden, love, compassion, God would use you. Yeah. And you can win many souls. Yeah. Let's read one last verse. Jude. Jude verse 22. Jude verse 22. Jude verse 22, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." And of some have compassion, making a difference. If you're discouraged today, if you're going through trials in your life, if you're going through depression in your life, I would like to encourage you today to go out and have compassion over this world. It will change your life. Right. And this coming week, I would hope that everywhere we go, we would see the people and have compassion over them. Let's pray. Let's pray tonight. Dear God, we want to thank you so much for having compassion towards us, Lord. That you came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins out of compassion. And Lord, help us now to have compassion over that lost family member that doesn't know you, Lord. Over this lost city, state, and country, Lord. And help us in this coming week to win many souls. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.